The last time we had Bob Donovan on the show, we were talking about how, for the first time in a long time, America seems to be looking good when it comes to marriages, which are on the rise, and divorces, which are on the decline. But one divorce is one too many. And we've made it a real priority since joining WICC. In the mornings, we've made it a priority to talk about healthy relationships. That's why we have a weekly counselor come on. And we've really made it a point to talk about the importance of right there at the basis, the core of a family, which is a marriage. It's a union. It's a healthy relationship. And so we have been having Bob on the show for years now. And today he's going to be talking about, you know, one of the most common responses to when people are asked, you know, why marriage is hard. It's because there could be what's called marriage killers. And so we're going to identify what exactly that means and some of the most common ones that maybe you have even experienced in your own relationship. So Bob Donovan, our marriage coach, welcome back. So glad to have you here. How are you?
I'm good. My voice might not sound good, but I am feeling really, really good this morning.
Well, I'm glad.
I just have a deep voice. That's all.
I mean, listen, there's nothing wrong with that, Bob Donovan. I love you just the way you are. With a deep voice or not, I think you're fantastic. I love it. I want to just reiterate for people, Bob Donovan has personally worked very closely with my husband, Derek, and myself. We've been working with Bob, oh my gosh, for over 10 years. We went through his marriage class when we were kids, and it feels like we were kids, and we've gone to many retreats with Bob and his wife, Karen. We have remained very good friends with them, and I just think the two of them, they have worked with, at this point, thousands of couples in our listening area and talking about marriage and how to really make it work. And probably one of the most common things that you talk about, Bob, is that marriage is hard. It's not a walk in the park, right?
I see it, obviously, because it's kind of my role, what I get involved with. However, like when you just talk to people, your friends or family, right, just elaborate a little bit on marriage, and chances are this will come up, right? This will come up, that marriage is hard. So it's not just something that kind of professionals recognize. It's something that just people who are married recognize as well. So I start to like dig into that, like why it's so hard, and you know, why is it hard? Like we're imperfect, we're quirky, we have faults, we annoy each other. Like you can go on and on that why men and women annoy each other if they live together and trying to make a life together. Mm. But I started to like dig into that, and I was actually shocked. I had to stop at 17.
I thought to myself, I'm like, that's a very odd number, but that's Bob going way. I'm going way too far. I could feel it. Yeah, you go down the rabbit hole.
It's amazing.
17 marriage killers and probably
17.
Much more. Wow.
Oh yeah. And again, it's like I was just like writing down, and all of a sudden, like stop. And then I started to like let's land on four and dig into that. So that's what I did.
So you narrowed it down to the top four marriage killers. Let's start with number one. Busyness, overcommitment, and physical tiredness.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know, you know, I don't live in other parts of the country, but I just think that this area here, the region that we're in, Fairfield County, I just think this is a massive threat to marriages. Talk to people. Like, talk to people about their, with young kids or middle-aged kids, even without kids, that first thing they say is, we're busy, and you start unpacking that a little bit more and look at their schedules, and especially if you have kids and activities and everything. And there's a cost to that. Like being overwhelmed and busy and tired, you know, there's a cost to that. It's a cost to a relationship. So I just think that is might be unique to our area. I think it's an absolute threat to marriage, because if you're tired and busy, you likely are not spending time on what's important to you. You're probably spending time on a lot of things that are all, you know what, if you did a time audit, all these things probably are good. But you have to look at what's most important, and are you spending time on the most important? Mm. And I recognize that people in different life stages, I mean, you have one small kid and you know, you're unique, then you're different than us. But you know what, you still have to kind of take a step back. I basically say stop and evaluate, do a time audit, look at what you're spending time on. And are you spending time on the things that are most important to you?
Mm. I mean, and one of the things, Bob, that you've talked about so many times on this show is the idea of, even if things are really busy, it is possible to take breathers. So, for example, you always say to create some kind of space for a regular date night. And you know, some people might think, well, I don't have the time to get dressed up and go out to dinner, go to a show. But you're not talking about that, are you?
No, not at all. I mean, you know what? That's great if you can. That really is. But I'm not talking about that at all. I'm just talking about a breather. You know what? Again, I go back. We had 3 kids in 4 years. It was just craziness. And Karen and I, once a month, would go out for pizza. And, wow, it was like going to the Ritz-Carlton for us because it was just a breather. We'd have friends. We'd take turns. We have 3 or 4 close friends. We'd take turns watching each other's kids. And we'd just go out for like an hour, hour and a half. And that was like a lifeline for my wife. So, you know, it could be things like that. It also doesn't have to be going out. Like, there's a couple that we work with now. They have a year-and-a-half-year-old. And we just, they talk to them. They do couch time. They do couch time when their son goes to bed. They take 15 minutes a couple times a week, and they just connect. You see, so it doesn't have to be going out, although that's, I like that because you're getting out of the house. But just something that is like a connection point.
Yeah, and it seems like one of the big things you're saying is to really stop and be honest with yourself, be honest with your relationship. Yeah. And if you even need, you know, those couple of minutes of saying as soon as bedtime happens and the kids go to bed, even if you are tired, it's just really connecting with that person and checking in with them. So even that is something.
I think I call that kind of reflection, just when you stop and just evaluate or reflect. Like, I think we've lost that. I really do. When you're busy, you're just going. You're on a treadmill. So I don't think we've lost kind of that art of just reflecting on. I'll go back to this again. Are you spending time on the most important things in your life? I'll come right back to that.
Bob Donovan is here, our marriage coach on the morning show. We're talking about the top 4 marriage killers. And we first started with how busy we are, how overcommitted we can be, and just becoming physically too tired to even dedicate any time to our spouses. Number 2, complacency. Being complacent, getting too comfortable. Right, Bob? I mean, this one has to be, I would say, even more common than being busy, because like you said, everyone is in different walks of life. But man, people who say, oh, I've been with this person for blah, 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 many years, you know, you get complacent a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's a really, probably if we voted and had couples do a little vote on this, I think this would probably be the top one. I think so. I don't think couples realize how much work, intentional work, it takes to really invest in strengthening your marriage. And that's what this comes down to. Like, I think people have just a false sense of security that if we love each other, that it's good enough and we'll be fine. And if we live together and are working it out, you know, that's going to be fine. But I think you have to really step back and realize that it takes intentional work. You know, a term I use a lot, and I heard it years ago, was you have to decide and don't slide. I think most couples slide. They slide, which basically means it's kind of like just you're on a treadmill, you're going to work, you come home, you're having your meals, you put the kids to bed, and you sit down and watch Netflix or whatever. I don't think couples take that pause and decide, hey, you know, we're a little disconnected right now. So I think complacency and having that false sense that we don't have to work on our marriage is significant.
And it's so funny, Bob, that you say that. I remember when Derek and I did our first marriage retreat with you guys. And, you know, that was okay, that's fine. You guys have only been married a couple of years and nobody really thought anything of it. But when we went again to another marriage retreat just a couple of years back, almost every person, including even my family members, said, why are you guys going? Is there something wrong? I mean, immediately, if you guys are going on a couples retreat, well, then this must be your Hail Mary. And I thought to myself, no, it's because I just want to focus on my guy. I want to focus on our faith together. And I think this would be really great for us. And it is really great. But it is funny how society-wise, we think when we invest time in our marriages or we're making time to go do something with our spouse, something must be very, very wrong. It's interesting.
Yeah, you're right. They think it's like weakness fixing and not strength building.
Right.
Yeah. It's funny. We just had another one. We had another one, and a husband that came, and they were great. They came. They're really healthy. And he walked away saying, and then what he said was actually what we just talked about. He said, I've gotten overcommitted and too busy. I've not been the best husband and dad I need to be. And they were really, really good coming in. But he had this revelation that he just got to step up, stop doing some things, start being home more and being more attentive to his wife and kids. So, yeah, it's not only, yeah, you're right. It's just not when you're a desperate Hail Mary, as you said. Very much so.
And again, we have Bob Donovan here, who's our marriage coach. Number three, self-centeredness or selfishness. Yeah. It's all about me, 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 me.
This is a tricky one because it's very stealth. I call this the stealth killer. You know, it's a hard one if you're that spouse to recognize. And again, I think it comes down to just like an attitude thing. Are you tend to be a giver or a taker? Do you tend to like to be served or to be served? It's those types of things. And I think, you know, a lot goes into this. I was an only child, so this was one I just had to get over myself and learn how to serve and how to be more attentive to Karen, do things like her love language is acts of service. And not only to do it, but do it joyfully. So, yeah, this one is, like I said, the stealth killer that could be deadly if you don't take a look in the mirror and even listen. Like the term I heard recently about, you know, taking constructive criticism, that do you take it and learn from it or do you react and withdraw from it? I think if you react and withdraw, you might be a little self-centered. So, again, it's a tricky one to get your hands around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's one where not only is it tricky to identify if this is something impacting you or your spouse, your union, but also how do you then shift from selfishness to selfless? That is a big shift. And even then, you don't want to go too far. I mean, Bob and I have talked about that before, the difference between and why you don't want to be all or nothing. There's a kind of a healthy medium there. So that's something that if you need a marriage coach, we'll give you Bob's information in just a second. I want to get to this fourth marriage killer, a very common one, which is being discouraged and feeling like you've lost hope in your marriage.
I think this is probably the biggest killer. I do, because again, marriage is hard. Again, in this area, we tend to be very busy. We don't think about it. And I think couples that realize that and over years don't pay attention to their marriage, I think get discouraged. And I think that, and that's okay. It's right. It's okay. You're not going to be on utopia forever in a marriage. So, you know, you can be discouraged about how things are, but when that gets left unaddressed for a long period of time, discouragement leads to loss of hope. And when your marriage and spouse loses hope, and again, there's research behind this. I mean, that's almost a deadly killer. So
yeah.
I think that, you know, recognizing discouragement comes before a loss of hope is critical. And I think that, and how do you address that? Right? I think number one is you have to sit down and express how you feel. I'm feeling a little discouraged right now. I'm feeling like we're not where we should be. I'm feeling like, you know, my needs maybe, you know, should be more, we should be talking about how we can be better together. So I think number one is just name it, talk about it. And that's, you know, another reason for that could be these couples that go through struggles and reach out to get help. That's tough sometimes because, you know, you tried counseling and maybe that didn't work or you had the wrong counselor. Well, we went to three sessions and three sessions didn't fix things. So, you know, so it depends on where you are, what you tried, but it starts with admitting how you feel to one another. Again, constructively with grace and humility, but realism, talk about how you feel. And then let's start to put together a plan. What would encouragement look like for us? And start having those types of discussions as well. And then if you need help, oh boy, I'm on the board of a Christian counseling group. I mean, we have 27 therapists. I mean, there's life coaches, marriage coaches. There's you know, the funny thing is there's no shortage of marriage resources and help out there for the spouse that needs help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, and I want to reiterate too, Bob, the idea of reaching out for help, because too often people will look to their friends, their siblings, their parents. And when you go to, I always call them biased people. And the reason I say it is not because they don't love you. Okay. I have parents who literally would take so many bullets. It's outrageous for their children. I have siblings who would kill for me. I have some of the greatest friends God could have given me. However, they like me more than they like Derek. That's just at the core of it. Of course they love Derek. They love him. But I'm their kid. I'm their sibling. I'm their best friend from grade school. They're going to not only side with where I'm coming from, even if I'm kind of in the wrong, but they're going to play into the emotion. They might even build up something that seemed like a level one into a level 10 by the end of the conversation. There's something about getting a third party involved and in talking to someone who's actually an expert in the field, even if you don't feel like it's a big enough deal to go to counseling. I would stay away from the biased people in your life, you know, just because in that moment they'll build you up and you're like, yeah, I've got an army. But at the end of the day, you married somebody. And on that day, when you took that vow, you liked them that day. And just because in the moment, maybe you don't like them later on or you're feeling like you don't have any hope, going to what I call biased people has never served me well. It just has not.
Yeah. I think you're right. You hit on that. And I think there's a second element to that is that whether you're a counselor or a life coach, there's a process for this. And people that are professional know how to get to the root cause of things. And and I think that's more of an item for these people because, you know, it's hard. So I think when you start digging into some of these issues, they're often layers upon layers. And a professional is going to you want to get at the root cause. You don't want to get a Band-Aid. You want to get at the surgery. And I think a professional therapist or coach can kind of ask the right questions, listen to the heart, what's going on, where did this come from? And once you kind of hone in on that, you have way more success at making sure that you address those root cause issues.
Yeah, it's so great. I love these conversations with you, Bob, and already I'm starting to get emails asking for your contact information. If people want to reach out to you, I know you're a marriage coach. If people want to contact you, what is the best way to find you and connect?
Yeah, that'd be great. And actually, there's somebody I've been helping recently, which is real exciting. So an email would be great to start the conversation, and that would be bdonovan, D-O-N-O-V-A-N, at blackrock.org.
All right, Bob, well, thank you. We always appreciate having you on the show, and we will talk again in a couple of weeks.
Sounds great, Melissa. Thanks so much.
Of course. Bob Donovan, our marriage coach here on WICC.